You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio and also on Instagram. I am Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin. I am your host, and I am here to help you talk about your day, not your diet. That is what it's all about. I want you to wake up and think about something other than calories, carbs, and fat grams. Because let's be interested in what is weighing on you. The real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. It's not what you're eating that's the problem. It's what's eating at you. So recently someone said to me that she wished, she's like, I wish I was a dude. And she was not talking about gender identity. She was talking about weight. She said, guys can eat whatever they want. They never gain weight. And if they do, it totally doesn't bother them. Well, guess what? She was so wrong. So wrong on so many levels, because it is just as hard to be Ken as it is to be Barbie. Guys struggle with food, weight, body image issues. They might not talk about it, but it's on their minds. And that is why I am so excited to welcome Figgy Baby to my show today. We're going to talk about men, eating disorders, body image, masculinity, and so much more. And if you would like to join us, the number is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Let me just tell you a little bit about Figgy Baby. Who is he? He is one of the founders of the Bloom Homie community, which strives to reimagine manhood and masculinity. He is also the facilitator of Bloom Homie's bi-monthly men's circle, Healing Masculinity. I love that. I love the sound of that, the title of it, the how it
sounds. Sounds good, right?
Masculinity, everything about it sounds amazing. I found him on in LA Times last year. Figgy and Bloom Homie, they have been featured in the LA Times, BBC, BET, the Los Angelino, and now here. I am so happy to welcome you. Welcome, Figgy Baby.
What's up, Dr. Nina? Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for this conversation. And actually, we just had one of our bi-monthly meetings last night. And so got a lot of content to cover today. We with it.
Ooh. Well, oh, yeah. Let's start by just tell us how you came to create this community.
Yeah, definitely. So I think post Me Too movement, a lot of men, myself included, were starting to think about not only how, what kind of responsibility we need to take moving forward to protect victims of domestic violence and rape culture and women in our lives, but also how we are affected by the same things. I think that conversation sparked like 10 other conversations, one of which being thinking about masculinity and manhood a little bit more specifically, right? A little more intimately, and thinking about ways that we deal with violence and assault and mental health and our image, and how a lot of the hurt that we cause on each other and on women, on all folk, is because of the hurt that we have inside, right? Like, just like you said in your intro, it's not what you're eating, what's eating at you. And so we wanted to start see what was eating at us. And I started hosting monthly meetings, or just like whenever I could, in this very apartment on this ground. And I invited about three or four other men who were already beginning to have these conversations in their own art or their own communities, who I just kind of seen through social media or open mics or the music scene, and was like, hey, can we all just meet up? Like, let's bring some food. I bought a bunch of Thai food, and I was just like, what do we need to talk about? That was the first question to spark it. It's like, for men, you know, trying to figure out who we are in 17 at this point, you know, what do we need? What are the topics that we need to cover, right? And so, of course, fathers are coming up. Mental health is coming up. Body image is definitely coming up. Sex, you know, penises. I mean, just like everything, right? Relationships, insecurity. And from there, it just grew little by little. And once the pandemic hit, we were able to open it up, because it's happening on Zoom. We're able to open it up to the public. And I sent out the email to like 150 people you know, every meeting. And we had people from all over the country, New York, Arkansas, DC, Virginia, Maine, Atlanta, Chicago, all over California. We even had someone hit us up from Berlin, Germany, but unfortunately could not accommodate for the time change. But yeah, and kind of halfway through our meetings, core members of the group thought that it'd be so much value in starting an Instagram page, which we called Bloom Homie. And we were going through Instagram and social media and finding all these pages that centered men at it, but either they were fitness pages or they're pages bashing women because they weren't getting play or they weren't getting attention and they couldn't find a date. And we were like, oh, there is a beyond a need for a page that is for men, that centers men, but positive, progressive masculinity and manhood. And so Bloom Homie was born.
Thank goodness for that. I remember when I was first dating my husband, something happened. His dad was doing really badly. And I remember he started to cry and he apologized. Mm. He's like, sorry, you know? And I'm just like, no, this is good. Tell me more. Like,
yeah, right.
I want to know. Like, and I was just telling him about the show today and he said, oh, it's so great because for guys, the idea of toxic masculinity is really what is promoted, what is shown. And right. So to have an antidote to that, Josh on Instagram is saying most men discover who they are from dad. Yeah. And
absolutely.
From the culture. Yeah. And we're taught, we are all taught, hey, don't be vulnerable, especially men. Remember once he was interviewing me on his podcast. Yeah. He was interviewing me and he said, so wait, to deal with my eating disorder situation, my binge eating, I've got to deal with my feelings, my thoughts. And I said, exactly.
Yep.
And he said, he's like, I'm a dude. I don't have feelings. Literal quote. Nice. I'm a dude. I don't have feelings. Well, dude, yeah, you do. Cause you're humans and human beings have feelings. So that's right. What you're up against, right? That idea that to be a man is to be impervious to the human experience.
Yeah, right. This limited scope of expression. You know, that's one thing. You know, I apart from Bloom Homie, I also lead two young men circles a week for middle school young men and high schoolers as well. And one thing that we're focusing on right now, and I'm so happy that I have the opportunity to work with young men, you know, from 12 and 13 up to like 17, is developing a larger emotional vocabulary. Right? Because we are so stunted from such a small age, right? We are allowed anger and then contentness, right? There is nothing else. There's not this variation. We can't have, you know, depression or sadness or nostalgia or even excitement and joy. And we have to be so muted. And so a lot of the work that we're doing too is about expanding that emotional range, right? Because I believe beyond man, woman, whatever, that our superpower as humans is that emotional range and ability to tap into it. And so, you know, a huge portion of our race is limiting that, is only going to damage us and, well, has damaged us, right? And continues to. So we need to open that up.
Absolutely. Because if you're not allowed to have feelings, what do you do with those feelings?
Right. They go somewhere.
They go somewhere. They yeah. Sometimes they go to food. They go to attack the self.
Right.
You know, or other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of males, I have a very large dog behind me.
It looks pretty chill.
Yeah, and he's a great example because of how to be a human actually as a dog, because when he wants something, he makes it known. Hey, I want that. When he feels something, he shows it. You know, when
Isn't
he wants
such a, such a beautiful thing to ask for what you want when you want it and then be prepared for the consequences of no and yes. Right. I feel people in general, and I think men especially, are so scared because it's vulnerable, right, to ask for what you want, you know, if it's food or, you know, from a lover or even from a friend to ask for help. You know, it's scary because what if someone says no and then you're just like completely destroyed? But also what if someone says yes? Because if you don't ask, it's absolutely a no. And so, you know.
Yeah. And the idea of intimacy, we're socialized to believe that women want intimacy and men will just barely, you know, sort of tolerate that because yeah. That's what women want and they've got to give women what they want.
No, homie's missing out.
So tell us the truth, Figgy. Tell us the truth.
Shoot, I want it all. I want the intimacy. I want all that. Absolutely. I want to build deep, vulnerable bonds with all people in my life, lovers and friends and partners and family. I want to take risks. You know, I want to be emotionally vulnerable. I want to hear no and hear yes and build myself off of those responses. And there's so much pleasure in that. There's so much joy in the emotional risk, because again, we're going back to these, you know, these two emotions of anger and contentness is just so, there's just nothing there. Like, I want to feel, and especially in regards to intimacy, and even more specifically in regards to the bedroom and with partners and lovers, like, we're missing out. So many of homies of mine and men in my community can't even ask to get kissed. Don't even know how to touch themselves. I'm not even talking about like masturbation. I'm just literally even like give themselves a back rub, you know, just so I was giving the computer. I mean, anything. Right. And so there's so much joy that we're missing out on.
You're talking about the experience of being human, being a guy, a human man, as opposed to so much of the culture is about with women too. How do you look? Right. And of course, lately, there's been so much pressure to look muscular, and that the way to be a guy, to have the right body, is to have big muscles. And, you know, it's not even six pack anymore. It's like 12 pack and all of these unreasonable objectifications of men that's so damaging. How do you see that as impacting your community?
The homies don't even want to wear tight t-shirts, you know? They don't even want to take their shirts off when they're at the beach. You know, the first time they're in front of a lover, they just like freak out. And sometimes even like don't go through with something that they truly want, this, you know, opportunity to build a more intimate bond, because they're scared of what they look like, right? We are constantly comparing ourselves, especially in this media age, virtual age, post-quarantine and lockdown. All we were seeing were these like perfected bodies that were in the algorithm was promoting, right? On Instagram, on TikTok, wherever it is. And so now more than ever, we're just like double taking every little thing, every pimple, acne, hair out of place. I mean, I do the same thing all the time. We were just talking about that last night. Like, it's just so hard. I'm like looking at my thighs. Like, it seems so like, oh, my thigh's too big, or my thigh, like is the, I mean, it's from everything to just like the skin tone to like your tan line, to like your calves not being big enough. You just see this, you know, perfection everywhere that media is just like throwing in front of you, and you just want to be the ultimate man's man, right?
And that's called the Superman effect, which is basically like to be brave, dependable, honorable, you've got to have really, really big muscles, and you've got to be, you know, look a certain, you got to look like a superhero,
yeah,
right?
Actually, may I say something? I don't know if you watch any of the Marvel or Avenger movies, but Endgame, the very last in the kind of, you know, first iteration of the, you know, Avengers, Thor goes through a major depression and eats and eats and eats, and he's sad. People, his the Hulk has to come and peel him literally off the couch because he's playing video games. And he has this huge, big belly, this outgrown beard. He's huge, you know, and he just like looks like a wreck, you know. And he never changes throughout the film. There's not a moment where like he, even when he gets his act together, let's say like, you know, in the last act of the film and starts acting superhero-ly again, he doesn't lose the gut or the beard or whatever. He just continues. And I thought that that was so profound. And we talk about that in the group, because we're like, yes, Thor didn't have to be, he still came through for himself and his people, while being a little, you know, out of shape and just like a little, you know, I don't know, at a lower point. And in terms of the superhero effect, I was so glad to see that Thor just like kept on, you know?
I love that. It's very Kung Fu Panda, which.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's nice. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I love that they chose to do that, that you don't have to change. You don't have to have this transformation to somehow be more of a man, just like you don't have to have a transformation to be some more of a woman or more desirable or more effective or more anything.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's happening internally, you know, also attraction and confidence in terms of building relationships. It does so much. And and to kind of like build yourself up, right? Affirmations. I mean, I always think about how to wear yourself, right? Because you're nobody else. All these other bodies and genes and access to gyms and workout and time that they have, like we have no idea where these like 1% of beautiful people, what they have access to. And I feel like we need to focus on ourselves and how to wear ourselves, right? How to find clothes that fit well, how we feel comfortable in, the colors that match our skin tone, to look in that mirror and give ourselves 5 affirmations every day. Oh yeah, you're beautiful. Look at you looking good. Dang, I love your body. You know, and then you're moving through and you got this aura about you throughout the day and people are attracted to that. And you're attracted to that and you want to be yourself more.
Absolutely. What exudes from you is what is attractive. And if someone's got swag as a guy or confidence or whatever you want to call it, that is much more enticing, at least to me and people I know, than kind of a person who looks perfect but is sort of, you know, awkward.
Or semi-dimensional, just has nothing to offer other than the looks, right? I feel like that's what we're working towards, that we want to be these multi-dimensional, full range individuals that just like, oh, wow, this person is someone who like I can rely on and be with and be vulnerable. I mean, that's what intimacy is. At the end of the day, you're going to be with some like stone of a man that can't cry, that can't even feel extreme joy. No one's going to get pleasure from that.
Yeah. And it's just really about embracing humanity and not thinking that to be a man, you have to be this stoic, strong, silent hulk of a dude who can save the world, but not shed a tear.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. The tears, especially when you're talking about your husband currently and when he was your boyfriend and apologizing for the cries. I've definitely been there. I know a lot of homies we've talked about that a lot. It's from such a young age, you're told not to cry, right? Don't cry, you're a man. Don't cry, you're a boy. And that's being from both sides of the household. I know, especially in Latino households, that the man and the women, mother and father, are both kind of internalizing those ideas of what their son should be and are like pushing those onto us. And then we don't, right? And then we feel so much shame later when we feel emotion. I feel like that's the part for me that really is sad, that how much shame we have to go through later for having pretty like, you know, in retrospect, like not that intense of emotions, just like any emotions at all, like things that totally deserve tears, right? People pass or a great loss that like, of course, like that's an honoring to like cry over that. And for us to like feel like we need to apologize at that moment is, it's sad. It reminds me why we're doing this, but also like, damn, I wish, I know how it was too. You know, I feel like in this new iteration of manhood for me has only even been the last 5 years also, you know, relatively new in my own life. And I'm still learning so much, especially in regards to asking for what you want and asking for help. Woo.
Well,
I want to share that weakness.
Yeah, you're talking about vulnerability, really. Like, oh, wait, Cruz is saying it took me a little bit, but I ate to hide my feelings. Yeah. And then, you know, the feelings come out at you. So, oh, I can't be sad or upset or depressed or angry or whatever, but oh, I'm so upset at myself. Yeah. So it boomerangs back.
Right. There's feelings being had, but you're just naming your emotions is so important. And that's going to allow you to move through them so much quicker and then not depend on these other things to fill the voids that you're obviously feeling, right? Just like Cruz said in the IG Live that like, I filled it with food. I filled it with working out. I filled it with sex. I filled it with, you know, drugs or alcohol or whatever, or, you know, unhealthy behavior or just lashing out. And it's because we don't even know what's going on. You know, we know that there is a void. There's a lack. And so important we start to name it.
I remember once I had a new patient and he, because I see a lot of guys in my practice, and he was telling me this horrific story of childhood abuse, but he was telling it to me as if he was talking about the weather. Mm. And I did the classic therapist thing. Like, well, how do you feel telling me this story?
Right, right.
He said, how do I feel? And he goes, well, it's a little chilly in here. Literally had no words. It's called alexithymia. No words for emotions. To him, feelings were just sort of sensations. And now he can say, well, I was, you know, really dejected and I was elated and I was like, so now he's discovered the language, but that's because he was socialized in a culture that said, feelings are just sensations. Are you hot? Are you cold? Are you hungry? Are you tired?
Right. No,
nothing about emotions.
Damn. It's chilly in here.
Yeah.
Isn't it wild that people can talk about these like traumatic experiences just like it's like describing the apple in their hand? They're like, oh yeah, that happened. Okay, what do you want to go do? It's like, what is going on? And I'm because I get scared for those people. I'm scared of them and for them because I'm like, where is that emotion though? Because I do not believe that that's truly just like they have this experience. Unless they're like, oh yeah, and I just got done with 10 years of therapy. And then I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You could talk about it. But in this case, it didn't seem like that. And I'm like, where is that emotion? Because like we already said, it's somewhere and it's going to come out some way.
It is repressed. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm a guy. I'm fine. Yeah. And then it takes more and more to keep it down.
Yikes. Yeah. Oh no. And I think it's harder too as you get older. I'm so blessed to be working with the young men right now because they just have so many less walls up, right? They can, you know, they don't have to unlearn as much. They don't have to kind of open up, you know, the repression has built up as much as men in their 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. I mean, you know, even working with my father and just building a relationship with him, around all this. I mean, there's just like years and years and years beyond my life that he's been holding down. And so it just gets harder the older you get. So the earlier you start, for whoever's listening, in terms of just finding yourself, the earlier you start, the better it will be. Yeah.
Because whether it's focusing on going to the gym all the time or developing an eating disorder or disordered eating or some kind of behavior that is about avoiding your experience instead of attending to your experience, it does affect you. And I'm glad that you're out here changing the conversation about what it means to be a guy in our society, because that just has to change.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen it firsthand in regards to the men that I'm working with and even the young men. I mean, it's so hard because a lot of it's over Zoom right now and they don't even have their cameras on. But, you know, they were opening up about, you know, wanting to wear nail polish or, you know, being told that they can't take care of the little siblings because they're a boy and doesn't know how to hold. I mean, even really small things that I haven't even thought about. One young man was telling me about how they let the sisters, who's even younger than he is in the household, take care of the baby, the, you know, youngest child, but doesn't want the boy to hold it because they're scared he's going to drop it or whatever. And I'm like, wow, from such a young age, they're already saying that we're not supposed to be taking care of the child. Like the way that, you know, and then it was like going back to my own head. I'm like, damn, this ever happened to me? They're like, you know, then like when people become fathers, they're like terrified. They're like, how was a man, you know, how to like hold my child because I never got that experience or never was trusted to try because I was a man or a boy. Then maybe that was connected to that. So I'm glad we're out here too. And I'm glad that most of the people that I'm working with and in regards to my own community with the men's circle and then the young men as well, they're really trying and they want to be there. Those young men groups are volunteer. It's not by the school or anything, which like blows my mind because I never would have joined that. Like it blows my mind. Like it's beautiful. It's beyond beautiful. I'm like impressed and moved. And then also like after every meeting, I'm like, all right, yeah, there's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope, you know? Absolutely.
Yep. Cruz is saying, I grew up with those ideas of machismo from my dad. If my brother and I did not become mechanics, we were gay. Well,
the fear of homophobia in modern toxic masculinity is like such a root of a lot of our behavior because, again, it's like you don't want to be a girl, but even worse than that, right? Because we're like, well, obviously we're not going to be a girl, but it's like you don't want to be gay. Don't cry. That's gay. You know, don't eat like that. That's gay. Don't even look like that. You know, you're a little too like skinny and don't dance. Don't this. Don't that. Don't wear earrings. Don't wear nail polish. Don't wear bright colors. Things that aren't even, you know, don't put chapstick on in public. Like, it's just like wild the things that they connect to that. And then we internalize that so much. And it's such a fear that drives so much of us. I don't want to be gay. I don't want to be this. I don't want to be that, you know, which or, I mean, yeah.
Or don't have loving, like non-homosexual, but non-gay loving feelings for your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't hug your homie too long, you know?
Right.
Don't be there for him when he needs it, because that's weird. Someone else should do that, you know? Which is, yeah. Also, so Bloom Homie was also featured on an article that was talking about male relationships during COVID. So I think there was also awakening there that realized that when sports bars and all that were closed, that a lot of men were looking around and being like, oh, all my friends were actually just kind of like acquaintances that like I saw at the bar. But like in real times of need, they're actually not, we're not that close. We haven't built those bonds. We haven't taken those risks. And I think that a lot of men are beginning to realize that having these, you know, non-romantic but intimate and deep and vulnerable relationships with their homies is going to literally save their lives.
Yeah. They're, and by the way, Cruz is saying everything he is saying is so true.
Thank you, Cruz.
Yeah, you're like, you are giving voice to so many men who haven't been able to talk about this or maybe even think about it.
Right, planting seeds. So yeah, we're so busy too. I think especially the older we get, we're in our careers, we're in our families, and we just don't even feel like we have time to begin to unwrap the load.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need little seeds planted. And also Cruz and any men, masculine folk who are listening now, my bi-monthly group, Healing Masculinity, is open to the public. And you are more than welcome to join. We'd love to have you. So please hit me up in the DM, send me your email, and then that's it. I got you. I'll send an email with all the Zoom links, and we don't get down.
You're in. You got a community of homies out there.
Open invite, yo. We with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that you guys have touched upon body image and vulnerability and all of this. And of course, when it comes to disordered eating, it's not about, you know, as I said earlier, it's not about what you're eating. It's about what's eating at you.
Absolutely.
And we're taught not to deal with that as men and women, right? Don't feel anything, just be happy. But men are also taught, well, eating disorders or anything like that, that's something women deal with.
Right. I was shocked. Maybe about a month ago, we had a more in-depth meeting that was about body image. It started with body image and then evolved into eating disorders and diet and relationships with food. And I mean, what, there was maybe in that particular meeting, maybe 25 men. And I feel like at least 15 of them actually spoke that they had an eating disorder when they were younger. And that was, and the other 10 just didn't say anything at all. Who knows if they did or didn't. They were feeling shy or didn't want to admit. But 15 that actually outright said that they had suffered from some kind of eating disorder or dysphoria or just like a super toxic relationship with food. And I was like, oh my God, this is, you know, in myself too. I was just talking about it last night. You know, I was a more heavier set child. And still I feel like I catch myself being so strict on myself when it comes to my diet because I was connected to that insecurity, you know, and don't let myself indulge in joyous food, food that brings me joy, you know, comfort food, not all the time, of course, moderation, but just like, you know, I'm like always, and then I get upset with myself because I'm not letting myself feel joy, but then also I just can't, I'm like, oh, I kind of want that donut right now. And I'm like, yo, it's just like, that feels good. Like that feels right in my body. And like, but then I like deny myself because I'm scared that I'm gonna go back to how I was, which is like also, I mean, like 15 years ago, right? But it's just crazy how those things from your childhood can dictate that moment with a pastry 15 years later, and then your whole, you know, connection with joy and diet and what you're not eating and eating. And I feel like I almost went the opposite way where I started eating like way too healthy, but like just was eating more for sustenance than joy. And also I don't like that. Like I want to indulge more and just like eat good food and yeah.
And I'm so glad you're bringing that up, because so many people that I talk to say, well, you know, food should really just be to, you know, you shouldn't eat to live. You should just eat to live. You shouldn't live to eat. You should just eat. Like, it's just nurturance. It shouldn't be enjoyed, basically.
Right, right.
It should just be clean food that you give your body, and that's it. And like, ew. In that case, pellets. It's supposed to be enjoyed. You know, we're supposed to enjoy it. It's one of the pleasures of life. And when you have a toxic relationship with your body and with food, of course, it becomes the enemy.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, the enemy. Damn. That is. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm happy that I'm focusing on that. And we're talking about it right now. I feel like even what you're just saying at this very moment is like kind of connecting some light bulbs in my head. I'm like, all right. Right. Yeah. 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 And even, you know, in regards to, I think something else that men don't often do, because we're not raised to think that it's our role, but cooking, right? Cooking our own meals and building this intimate relationship with the creation of food, right? And then having a deeper connection to it. So we know also like what we're putting in our body, right? That we are, you know, from the buying at the grocery store to the cutting up, to the cooking, to the feeding ourselves, there's this whole kind of like relationship going on. And I feel like that has helped me when I started really learning to cook for myself, and I think quadrupled down on it during quarantine because I wasn't eating out as much. Then that's when I felt like, oh, okay, like I'm having fun making food that I enjoy and also feel good about in regards to health, right? These like dishes that taste good and make me feel good, and that I made myself, and I'm proud of that. And it just feels like this whole, you know, thing going on. For me, that's been a huge thing as well, is actually being in control of the cooking itself, right?
It made me think about when my younger daughter was in preschool, we talked to some mother of one of the kids in the preschool, and the mother was going on a business trip, and she was saying, oh, I'm going to be gone for 5 days, so I've got to cook 5 days worth of meals. And I'm thinking, what, your husband can't cook? Also, and so I said, what, your husband can't cook?
You're like, what's your point?
She said, no, he's a guy. He doesn't cook. He won't cook. And it really struck me just how solidified those gender roles were.
From everybody.
Cruz is saying, a lot of what I've been through, I had nowhere to turn except food. Well, now you got someplace to turn. You got the Bloom Homie community. You got Mickey Baby here. Reach out to him. Hit him up. He's going to help you. Anyone who's listening, who's a guy and feels alone and wants a community of other men who are talking about things, you know, of substance.
Right. We're here.
They're here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just another quick shameless plug. I'm also a musician and a rapper, and I have a lot of music, and a lot of my music focuses on manhood and boyhood. I'd specifically look into my album Blood from a Stone, which was released during quarantine last year in 2020, and is really just all about this unraveling, this breaking through to find the light of, you know, shameless masculinity, right? And this full range of emotion as a human. And for y'all folks who really want to kind of like feel like you have other things to turn to, you know, also music, then please, please, by all means, check out the project.
Absolutely. And please, there's no such thing as shameless self-promotion. There's just self-promotion. And
right, right.
Word. I just want to say, Cruz is saying, this dude is so right. We were also told that we needed to find a woman that does everything for you. Woo. If she doesn't, we had to beat them. Whoa.
Yeah, that's yikes. First of all, yikes, right?
Yikes.
And I think in a lot of very machismo and toxic households, that is a truth.
He says, I never followed this advice.
Of course. Yeah, no. I didn't imagine from your thoughtfulness on the chat right now. But I will also say that, like, that's real, you know? And even if it's not being said outright about, like, you have to hit her if he does this, but you just see how your father is treating her or that other men are treating them, right, in your household, you know, uncles, tios, you know, grandfathers, whoever, right, how they, you know, get so upset, right, or even verbally abuse, or you can't do anything right, or you can't do this right, because they're not feeling these basic needs that, like, really you need to be just doing yourself because, like, you've grown and you need to eat, like, what? But again, you know, where I think, I don't know, there's the Oedipus thing, whatever, but men are looking for mothers, and that's not the vibe. We ain't doing that no more. We over that vibe. We need to be looking for partners, right, to share in the work, and more importantly, to share in the joy, right? And yeah.
Again, I go back to my own experience. When my daughter was born, my husband had friends who would be like, oh, I don't change diapers. I don't change diapers. I've never changed. One of them, not a friend, but someone he knew, was like, he was proud that he had like three kids and he'd never changed a diaper. And my husband, David, said that he felt really sorry for him because he said, like, it was such a bonding moment, or
right,
a bath, right. It was such a bonding moment. And he said that for his friends to just miss out on that because they're just too manly to change a diaper.
Yo, that part, they're missing out. Men are missing out on life right now. If really that's what's going on, is we're missing out on real love and intimacy and true friends and partnerships and expression and art and good food and really this love for our own body, pleasure. Like, we are we're missing out. Like, dang, that makes me sad too. You know, I'm not a father. There are a good amount of fathers in our men's group, and they are so always proud of every little moment that they can be involved with their children. And for me, that's what gets me hype. If I, you know, ever have kids of my own, that I'm also like, yeah, like, I do want to do all that, right? And just thinking about this idea of missing out, like, even making a meal for, as the man, making a meal for your, you know, woman partner or whoever, or for your homies, right? Like, there's just so much of joy in these things, right? Even in the cleaning, building this relationship with your space, right? That, like, this is my space. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to make my bed. I'm going to sweep the floor. I'm going to, like, wash down the counters and just have this sense of your ownness. And I feel like that's so powerful in developing who you are. And a lot of those things that we're saying we shouldn't do because that's a women's job, we are missing out on this opportunity to connect greater with our surroundings and ourselves.
Got two comments for you. One is from Cruz. He says, preach, homie. And Harley Gash says, thank you for not looking for the not looking for mothers vibe. Most of us don't want to be mothers either. We, especially, we have kids. We don't want to be the mother to our husbands or partners or.
Absolutely not. Picking up after a third child like that, you know, like, shoot. I mean, yeah, nah. We're supposed to be in this together in whatever relationships that you're in, you know? Yeah. Get a load.
Yeah. and really, what occurs to me as you're talking is how similar guys are, not similar, how exactly the same guys are. What am I even saying? How similar? Look at that. What? How what you're talking about and the things that we as women talk about or worry about, or it's very similar. And we really have to recognize that we're not so different. We have the same needs, wants, wishes, yearning to connect, fears of vulnerability, wishes for whatever. Like, we're very much the same.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's, I think, you know, talking about like the feminine and the masculine, right? I think that my goal with my own manhood, or, you know, and I even try to think about it beyond that, you know, there's a lot of like healing I have to do because of my conditioning as a man and a boy. But even beyond that, like, I want to be this human. I want to be this like giving, loving, full range, exciting, dope human, right? And so thinking about these energies, right, the feminine, the masculine, the non-binary, and the melding of all of them together to form this kind of purple aura, this energy, I feel like that's the goal, really, at the end of it all, that we realize we've come to, you know, in the, of course, majority of things that we're talking about are very like male, men centric, because that's who's in the group. And obviously we're speaking from our experience. But what we also realize in the conversation is that these are, we're not just like how to be a great man. It's like, we're learning how to be great humans.
Yeah. And to do that, it's about connecting to yourself and others.
Yeah, absolutely. And communication is key, right? That ask. Yeah.
That's the thing that I think is missing for most men, is the idea of connecting, as you were talking about earlier, you know, connecting with other guys on a deeper level than, yeah, hey, did you catch the game? And what do you think about that player? And right. That's, I do a terrible impression of a dude. Right?
You know, it was funny though. So.
but to really have a meaningful connection with each other, that's what's missing, because
absolutely
socialized to be just, you know, like my daughter is almost 14. She's in her first year of high school. And she's like, Mom, like last year, I mean, yeah, it was over Zoom, but like boys were just sort of like boys, we're all just the same. And she's like, now they walk around and they're like, they walk differently. And they're like, yeah, they walk with this swag thing. And she said, like, what's up? What's up? What's up?
Yeah, to be honest, I will say that my middle schoolers are 10 times easier than my high schoolers, you know, and some of them are only a year apart from each other. And yeah, that's, I feel like middle school is this really kind of bridge area in our lives where we're still kind of kids and joyous and shameless and just kind of like doing things that make us feel good. And that's fun. And we're like making things up in our head. And then once we get to high school, the pressure is on to like, go get girls, you know, like conquer, be the dude to be feared, respected, to be, you know, like the one, right? All that, this kind of swagger, you know, they just turn something on because now we're like, now we're young men. We're not boys anymore. We want to just be like muted and cool and all that. See, my impression is the same as yours. What the heck? But yeah, but that's what it is. You know, I mean, it's just the pressure. The pressure is on. There's, you know, we come to this new self-awareness of our age, and I feel like that's when also other friends, you know, so we're freshmen, right? And now they're juniors and seniors older than us that we're also immediately using as role models. And we're seeing them first day at school and be like, oh, I have to be like that. Okay, I see how tough they are, how cool they are. So then I got to like, you know, kind of fake it, you know, front a little bit to look like them. And I think that's also when other people are just like very specifically being like, oh yeah, you got to get girls now, you know, like you, this is how you got to do it, right? You got to like not really care. You kind of got to be like whatever. And I just think that in terms of the age, that's now when like the outside forces are like, okay, now. And then everyone jumps on us and it's like, this is how you should do. This is what you should do. This is what you shouldn't do. This is what you shouldn't do. And so then we just like become this like freaking amalgam of other people's opinions and thoughts.
Yeah. Cruz is saying, thank you. My mom tried to teach what she could about being a gentleman before my dad got his hands on her. Oh, Cruz, my heart is breaking for you and your mom.
Yeah.
And hi, Pamela. And hi, we have some women here too. And hi, Debbie.
Hey, there you go. Oh. Shouts to everyone coming in. And yeah, I'm, you know, to Cruz, I'm glad that there was a moment that you had with your mother. Isn't that kind of sad though, that we have to rely on mothers to teach us how to be men, how to treat women, how to build relationships, you know, when that connection from father to son is I'm trying to think of a word. It's so important, but it's like beyond important. It's like crucial. It's life. It's like, what was yours?
Primal.
Yeah, it's primal too. Yeah, yeah. It's so important, and it can be so beautiful and so epic. And unfortunately, you know, that gets missed, and we have situations like this where then the men in our households become the last things we want to even be near, right? Yeah. I'm so blessed that in this age, my post 20s, me and my father are actually friends, you know? And it's taken a long to get there, and it's not always that every time, but I think that I think both of us, but I specifically have given an effort to kind of be like, nah, I do my own thing now. I'm grown. We going to be friends, and you go open up to me. We going to talk about it, and I'm just going to be real with you. And sometimes he'll just like, I remember one time I was opening up about all my theories on masculinity and manhood and life and relationship and queerness and everything. And he was just like, I don't understand a lot of what you're saying, but I believe you believe it. And that makes me happy. And I was like, all right, I'll take it. You know, there wasn't any denial. There wasn't any, no, that's not it. That's not right. You know, I think, and also very fair that for a lot of men in older generations, that a lot of the language and the conversations for them to be like, I don't understand it, is totally fair. That's totally fair because a lot of it is wild. You know, I mean, like, but it's okay if you don't understand it at first, as long as you don't bash it and respond to it violently and just immediately say no. That's all right. And I felt like I was really impressed with my father, actually, that he had that response opposed to immediately bashing me for a lot of things, you know? And he was just like, I don't understand it, but I believe that you believe it. And I was like, yeah, you know what? That's all I really wanted for you, you know? Like, and yeah, so, you know, and we're continuously more and more just like open with each other and building. And yeah, and also like, I mean, he had this wild moment. He took me and my brother out, and he also was just like, wanted to apologize from things so long ago that I've like, I feel so far forgiven. And also, you know, I really love my father and respect him. And, but also for him to kind of like, I know that he's been going through it, and to that he's just at home, like spiraling about all these times where he felt distant or not present or whatever. And then like brought it up with me and my brother about like not being there as much as he wanted to be, right? Or whatever. And I was like, oh, dang, thank you. You know, I feel like, I very quickly would be like, yeah, you're forgiven. Like, look at this moment right now. You're out with your two sons and we're like cracking jokes and having a great time. And so also like, don't be too hard on yourself. You know, look at what the moment is. Like, you must have been generally okay, you know, because we're here.
And right? And there can be, and there can be, and Pamela saying, I love and miss my dad. Yeah. And I have a feeling that your dad is going to understand a lot better the more that you talk.
Absolutely.
Because, and he's open to understanding.
Yeah.
Which is the key, is just being open to a just a different way than what is familiar.
Yeah. Now I just need him to start talking more.
Yeah. Yeah. You're setting a good, ironically, yeah, you're setting a good example for your father.
True. Absolutely. Hold me up from here. We'll work.
It made me think about this idea of being closed off. Made me think about another patient of mine who had been bulimic since he was a kid, a little kid.
Wow.
And at the time he was in his 60s when he came to see me. And so, and he had gotten the nerve to say to his doctor, I throw up almost every day. And the doctor did not ask him any questions. The doctor said, that's terrible. Okay, we got to get you a colonoscopy, a laparoscopy, whatever. It was all about, the doctor just made the assumption that it was all about something physiological and never even asked him a question about, well, what do you mean you're throwing up every day? Is something going on with you? Elucidate. Is this an eating disorder? Is this something physiological? And just the automatic closed-mindedness to something's going on within is what you're working to change, and what I love about your message. And
wonderful. Yeah, no, thank you. And thank you for sharing that. I feel like often it's like putting Band-Aids on a boat that has a hole in it and water's coming out. It's like so surface level. Like the water's just going to keep on pouring. What is this little Band-Aid going to do on this hole? We're drowning. And we need much more than a Band-Aid to help us, right? And I'm happy that then that client met you as well, so you could ask those questions and really dig deep and realize that, you know, there's so many other things going on. you know, the emotional, physical are so intimately connected. And that's one, just for our health as men and as humans, to realize that both are affecting the other, you know? And yeah.
Well, can you believe how fast this show went? I cannot believe we are at the end of our time together. This was so inspiring and illuminating. Please tell everyone where they can find you and Bloom Homie, because I want to find out about your music and everything. So
yes, absolutely. So you can find me everywhere at Figgy Baby, just like how it's spelled here on the screen, FiggyBaby. TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. This is the work that we do. This is the music that we make. Everywhere, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, at Figgy Baby. And Bloom Homie. Bloom Homie, we're just on Instagram, at Bloom Homie. BLOOMHOMIE. Shout out to Bloom Homie, and shout out to my other collaborators there that are doing this great work. Check that page out, and we'll send you to 10 other great pages to follow as well. Yeah, keep in touch, y'all. And come join the group. If you want to come, hit us up in the DMs. I got you. Don't even trip. We're going to build.
I love it. Thank you so much for being here today. I know that you inspired so many people and gave a lot of food for thought to both men and women who were listening to what you were saying. And I really want to thank you. Keep doing the amazing work that you do. And that is our show for today. Thank you for joining me and Figgy Baby on LA Talk Radio. Listen live every Wednesday at 11 Pacific, or you can listen later or watch later at Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get podcasts. Have a great week, everyone. Bye for now.
Peace.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.